This is Israel at War. I'm Steve Conover. As the war against Hamas continues in Gaza, many have been seeking to learn more about the modern state of Israel and its relationship with its Arab neighbors. Today, we welcome Dr. Mike Stallard. Mike is Vice President of International Ministries here at the Friends of Israel. But before Mike was called into full-time ministry, he was an aerospace engineer working closely with the Israeli military. Thank you for being with us today, Mike.
Yeah, thanks for asking me to come.
Now, Mike, you were in Israel during wartime in the 1980s. Before we talk about that, how did you end up in Israel during wartime?
Well, I had gone to seminary at Liberty Baptist Seminary and graduated in 1980. Before I went to seminary, I was an aerospace guy. I had entered into an aerospace career. But then after I finished at Liberty, I got married. My wife and I decided to stay for a couple years in Lynchburg to get a year to get used to each other. And then I wanted to maybe save some money instead of going into deep debt to go to Dallas Seminary, working toward a doctorate. And so I explored opportunities, and I got a job with General Dynamics in Fort Worth, Texas. So we moved down there, and the offer letter I got from them was kind of exciting. It said, your first assignment will be to work for the Israeli Air Force. And I was all ecstatic about that. And so we went down there, and I started working on the project, and I ended up the only software guy on that project, and I got a free trip to Israel out of that. So it was a kind of an exciting time. But that's how I ended up as an engineer working for Israel on Israeli F-16s that the U.S. sold to them.
Incredible. And what was that war about, the one in the 80s?
Well, if you remember your history, the PLO, the Palestinian Liberation Organization, and Yasser Arafat and those guys, they had eventually been pushed out of Israel, 67 war, et cetera. And they ended up in Jordan, and then they caused King Hussein all kinds of trouble. So they went to Lebanon. And from there, they were just bombarding Israel with Katyusha rockets from the north. Just like now, it's Hezbollah up north and Hamas in Gaza. Then it was the PLO in Lebanon. And all these Katyusha rockets, and they were timing the firing of their rockets aimed at schools at the time children were getting out of school and those kind of things. And Israel, frankly, had enough of that. And so they finally just lined up their tanks and their soldiers and their airplanes, and they just started marching up through Lebanon, which at that time was really just one big giant ammo dump, in my opinion. The war started in June of 1982, and I had been training three Israeli soldiers in Fort Worth, Texas for 9 months on the software that I had written, which helped them to update one of the cockpit computers on an F-16 on their own, which we didn't normally let other nations have, but we gave them that capability. And I was working on that project, and then I went over with a team of four engineers to help install the appropriate equipment and everything and make sure it worked. And we were working at a base in Beersheba, near Beersheba in the south, but we stayed in Tel Aviv. So it was an interesting time. But the war in Lebanon, they called it the Peace of Galilee movement at the time. It's become known as the First Lebanon War or the Lebanon War. They've had some incursions up there since, but that was why they were doing it. It was the PLO. It wasn't Hamas or Hezbollah at that time.
Not many Americans can say they've been in Israel during wartime. What did you learn? What was your experience like?
Yeah, I didn't get to do much touring. I was working Sunday through Friday noon. You know, and the soldiers would take off Friday noon and have their evening from Sabbath started and then Saturday. And so I was working all the time, but I got to be around Israeli soldiers and their families and Israeli people, and even some Arabs when I was out eating dinner after work in Tel Aviv. And I'd go to a sidewalk cafe, and I'd eat in an Arab shop, and I get to talk to some people. And so I learned more, you know, on tour, you learn something about the Jewish people and the Arab people, but you don't learn as much as you do if you're there every day for a month. And I was there just for a month, and I'm sure I didn't learn near as much as I could have, and I'd been there longer. But I learned, for example, we had a dinner with a Colonel Shmueli, he's the project leader, and someone during the dinner, we're actually in his yard at night, having dinner, and someone suggested that he was a hero in the Six-Day War, and someone asked him to pull out his medals. And so he pulled out his medals and started passing them around, letting us look at them. And I'm thinking, that's 15 years ago. Here's a hero of the Six-Day War. And I'm in his house having dinner and listening to their concerns about their families. It was very clear how much the Jewish people loved their families. There was a major when we checked into the IDF headquarters in Tel Aviv. We had to get badges, you know, and stuff like that. And while we were waiting for all that, a major gave us an update on the war. Had a big map on the wall. I felt like I was in a movie, you know. And but again, the fear I saw in his eyes. He was afraid for his family. Mm-hmm. And he was from Haifa. He took the train down to Tel Aviv every day. And he was a little worried about his kids getting out of school and rockets coming in and all that. They were very concerned about that, and the PLO didn't have any scruples about those kinds of things. They targeted almost entirely civilians and not a military installation. So those kinds of things. Sergeant Shroganov, I had dinner in his home with his wife and family. It was kind of a neat thing just to talk to them about their aspirations and life, what they wanted to do. And I remember in the 82 war, the U.S. stepped in and stopped them from totally destroying the PLO. Mm. And the Israeli soldiers were very mad about that, that I was in the computer lab with them and they were cursing and stuff. Mm. They didn't like that. And I asked Shroganov, the sergeant, I said, why do you care what we think? Why don't you just do what you think is right? And I'll never forget the answer. He turned to me and he said, you Americans, you're the only friends we have. Mm. That's what he said. And so I kind of learned about their the ethos, the fears, the concerns, and the great love for family that they had. It was absolutely tremendous, and I appreciate that. And even on the flight over, I sat next to a lady who was had come to the U.S. She was an artist, and she was leaving Berkeley. She had gone there to try to help her art career, and she said, I'm going back to Israel because America's no longer pro-family. You know. That was interesting, just the concept there. The family thing really hit me as I was looking at them and how they were doing things. So, and also I learned, went to the exhibition park. They took me there. It's a big park. I don't know if it still exists, north of Tel Aviv. And they were bringing back all the stuff they found, tanks and M16s and AK-47s and booby trap books and everything they were finding. They were hauling in these big semi-trucks, trailer trucks, and bringing them down and just putting them on display for anybody to come and see. And I saw that. You know, that's why I said earlier that Lebanon was just one big ammo dump. Yeah. And so they were just bringing all that stuff back to show. And so I learned that, you know, this really is, it's a danger thing. It's not just a political thing. Mm-hmm. Well, people really want to destroy them, mm-hmm. like they always have since the day of Haman. And so, you know, I my love for Israel grew and my prayers for them grew. Mm.
Yeah, that's great insight. You oversee our international ministries, and we have workers located in 9 countries outside the U.S., working in many more. How should we be praying for our workers internationally?
Well, one of the things that we need to be concerned about is that anti-Semitism is on the rise, not just in America, but all over the world. Now, there are a few spots. I'm getting some glowing reports from Germany that they've said never seen it so positive toward the Jewish people. And so I appreciate those kind of reports. But in so many other places around the world, there are all these protests. And, of course, in America, we're very concerned about, you know, how can you, you know, talk about from the river to the sea, which is a statement of genocide. And they're shouting that in the streets. And they're accusing Israel of genocide, when in fact the matter, it's Hamas that wants to destroy it. It's the PLO that wanted to destroy it. It's Hezbollah, it's Iran. Those are the people that want to destroy Israel and exterminate Jews from the planet. And so that's just not a good thing. And I think we need to pray for our workers everywhere they are, because they're standing up for the Jewish people. In a sense, that makes them a little bit of a target. But we do have our fund, Stand With Israel fund, that you can give, that people can give to, that will help us, you know, spread that around where it's needed to help the Israeli people. And sometimes that's not just in Israel, but it's actually in other countries as well. So I would ask people to do that. The Israel Relief Fund is there, the missile shelters and all those things we can use that for. And so I think that that's an important place for people to pray about those things and maybe give to follow up. But that prayer is far more important than giving, because we're talking to the Creator who controls every breath that we breathe. So I think we need to pray earnestly. And we have several of our Friends of Israel workers who work for FOI in Israel who have been called up in the military. And there are Christian churches in Israel whose their whole staff has been called up in the military. So that affects church life, and our churches are so wrapped up in this right now. And so it's an opportunity on one hand for the gospel, sake of the gospel and the Bible, but it's also puts a lot of enormous pressure on our churches there. So we just ask you to pray earnestly for them, and don't give up in your prayers.
How good to know that when we pray for our brothers and sisters worldwide, that we have a Father that hears us.
Yes, and you know, as in Jeremiah told us, I have loved you with an everlasting love. And so we need to love what God loves. And we show that through our prayers.
Amen. Thank you, Mike. We hope this has been helpful for you as we seek to understand the complexities Israel faces in the Middle East. Our workers in Israel and around the globe would not be able to do the work of standing with and bringing hope to Jewish people without your continued prayers. As you have heard today, Israel and the Jewish people need our help. If you want to stand with us as we stand with Israel with a financial contribution, visit foi.org/standwithisrael.